when you find you're in the Christ mind. Because the words of the Father I accepted open you to the Christ mind. And that is how the realization of truth comes. Truth is then realized. And you can feel the inner spiritual substance of the truth. Yes, God is my sufficiency in all things. And it's like a sunrise bursting. The inner realization that this is the truth, a permanent truth, an indestructible truth. Until all doubt and fear become obsolete. Always, God is the substance of my form, the sufficiency of my being. Always, I am divinely governed, divinely sustained, divinely fed, divinely directed. There is no shadow. There is only the pure Christ mind. This meditation that God is the substance, the sufficiency in all things, when realized, is another great key to that great emancipation that comes when you are in your Christ mind knowingly, consciously. Independent of all world thought, all shadows of thought, all negatives, all that is unlike God. When the cripple, blind man, the deaf man, to you, are unreal, untrue, and therefore not present, but where they appear to be, the Christ mind of you knows the invisible light of God. Where lack appears, you know the invisible abundance of God. Where discord appears, you know the invisible harmony of God. And this is how you break the back of the world mind. I in the midst of you, I who am mighty, I take you into the kingdom where you stand. Before I forget it, in the chapter Revelation of Spiritual Identity, which we've brushed through to some extent today, Joel made a suggestion that we also look at the chapter in The World is New called Conscious Union. That's chapter 3 in the book The World is New. And inasmuch as we're going to stay with this chapter of Joel's at least another session, this would be a good time for you to look at Conscious Union in The World is New, chapter 3, in conjunction with the Revelation of Spiritual Identity. Now, as you read through this chapter 9, there was a place where there seemed to be a sudden turning in Joel He had been discussing things of the world. It's like a sort of a warm-up. Suddenly he sort of became, you might say, impatient with the things of the world, and there was an abrupt change into which he began to state things like the following. If you die while still in material sense, you can only awaken in that same material sense, a materiality which can be greatly intensified. The belief in limitation with which you leave this plane becomes greater limitation. But the degree of freedom with which you leave here becomes greater freedom. The person who goes on from here in material sense, fearing, hating the experience, squeezing himself into it, finds himself more tightly bound than before the transition. Whereas the person leaving this plane in spiritual life is wide open for the experience, open to receive more light, more light, more light, and thereby finds himself less fettered on emerging from this plane into his own new experience. Now, when I read this, the thought that struck me most was something similar that had been given to me within, that wherever you are now, you are merely your own thought appearing. And you will always be your own thought appearing, no matter where you are, on which side of the veil you are. You are either the thought that you entertain here as mortal, or the thought that you entertain here as immortal. And where you go on the other side of what is called a veil is into the thought universe that you are entertaining. You always live in your own thought universe. Every belief you have is the universe in which you live. You are a thought form living in your own thought environment. The environment you have around you is your thought. That environment only changes as your thought changes. And if your environment is paradise, that will have to be your thought. It will not be while you are thinking in terms of a material environment. In this rising Christ mind, you become aware that Christ mind is not conscious, as you have been, of physical environment. Christ mind is not conscious, as you have been, of physical images. The Christ mind does not live in a physical body. The Christ mind does not live in a physical environment. And if to some degree you are aware now that you do not live in a physical body or in a physical environment, you have been touched by the Christ mind. The importance of Joel's statement is that as a man thinketh, so is he. Everything you're doing, thinking, seeing, feeling, touching, experiencing is the quality of your own thought. And as that thought becomes more divine, less world-mind, more Christed, less creature, your universe is changing and being transformed into a spiritual universe. And the lacks and limitations, the opposites, the vulnerabilities, the discords do not exist in that spiritual universe. So we're learning to watch our thought, to identify truth, to identify non-truth, And now that we've come that far, we can say this. As you identify that which is untrue, remember this, the mind which has experienced that untruth is not a mind. The mind that experiences untruth is not a mind because the untruth is never present. Only truth is present. The mind which experiences that which is not present but seems to be is not a mind. It is as non-present as that which it experiences. When you experience non-truth, you are experiencing it in a non-mind. And the value, then, of seeing non-truth and identifying it is now to take the step of saying, because this is non-truth, I will rest the mind that perceives this non-truth. That's all you do. Rest the mind that perceives that which is untrue. As you rest that mind, you are stepping out of the mind which is not the Christ mind. And as you continue this practice, you find that as you perceive non-truth, your mind goes into a standstill. It looks at non-truth, and rather than trying to change it, the mind sort of freezes. It sees non-truth without accepting it, and now you're coming to the place where you're not even accepting the mind that perceives the non-truth. This is a delicate but important exercise. When I perceive a non-truth, I'm perceiving it with a non-mind. Instead of changing the non-truth, I must stand in the stillness of the non-mind. You learn to practice the stillness of the non-mind. You begin to feel the activity of the real, the Christ mind. Everything that is untrue exists only in a mind that is untrue. When Joel says, get the axe at the roots, and when the Master says in the Bible, agree with thine adversary, they're both saying, get to the mind that perceives untruth. Don't worry about the untruth. Just identify it. That'll tell you you're in a wrong mind. And then when you've identified the wrong mind which is perceiving untruth, rest that mind. Be still. Take a Sabbath. Fast from that mind. And you find you have got to the root of the untruth. You have silenced the mind which is the instrument through which world mind is making you perceive an untruth. And your thoughts will be different. Your thoughts will change. Because they will not be the thoughts of that mind. Therefore, they will be thoughts of the Christ mind. And then what Joel is telling us here, that whatever universe we are in is our own thought universe, you'll find your universe is the universe of the Father. When divine thought is flowing through you, you're in divine creation, where the law is always perfection. Slowly perfection replaces the opposites of perfection and imperfection, of good and bad. Your universe changes because you learn to be still in the mind that has perceived untruth. The false mind is nullified. The carnal mind ceases to have power. All its implied power ceases to function in your being. When your carnal mind is still, the world carnal mind has no power to function in you. Joel says the soul or life of an individual never dies. Interesting is that he says the soul or life, as if they were synonymous. the soul or life of an individual never dies, nor does it lose its attained development. So that as you are able now to be still in the mind that perceives untruth, first recognizing untruth, and then being still in the mind that perceives that untruth, you're attaining a new level of consciousness. You're dying to the old, being reborn to the new, and whatever you're reborn to will be a level that you never lose. You never lose your attained development. Jesus, the Christ who left this experience in full illumination, still exists and lives, not in any place, but in and as consciousness. And since consciousness is infinite, he lives and exists in your consciousness and in mine. Now there's a flat statement that in your consciousness and in mine, Jesus Christ now exists. If you haven't had the benefit of that, it's because you have been in your human sense of mind, which sees that which is untrue, and that's not your real consciousness. Your human sense of mind is not receiving the intelligence or love or wisdom of Jesus Christ. But when you are still to untruth, you find that you are in the Christ mind, which does receive instruction, possibly from Jesus Christ, possibly from others. Joel goes on, and it is within our power to receive light and instruction from that consciousness. Gautama the Buddha still teaches, still performs his mighty works in consciousness, in your consciousness, in my consciousness. We, he says, are being illumined and instructed by that state of consciousness. And all who have attained illumination and left this plane fully illumined are right here where we are, facing us through our consciousness. And if we have not yet known that all spiritual light is embodied within our consciousness, we should become aware of it now. When Joel says we, it's often the editorial we. He's telling us that he is being fed by the consciousness of Buddha, the consciousness of Jesus Christ, and the consciousness of other illumined individuals who have ceased to appear physically on the earth, but who are present and function and teach through consciousness. But Joel has already gone past the point of living in untruth, of being tempted into the belief that untruth is possible. He is still the mind which was in untruth, and therefore he is in pure consciousness. And in pure consciousness, you are taught by those who have walked on before us into pure illumination. And so an added advantage of stilling the mind to untruth is that you open the Christ mind, which now, instead of being limited to what the human mind thinks it knows, receives infinite wisdom from infinite source and is constantly in the light of those who have attained the highest degree of awareness in the universe. You are taught direct from illuminated souls, instead of through the channel of the human mind. This is where revelation comes from. And this is another meaning of the Comforter. Another meaning of the Comforter will be the voice. When within the voice speaks, that is the Comforter within. When you receive instruction, sometimes the individual will identify himself Jesus Christ will identify himself at certain times if you receive instruction from him. And people you may never have heard of will instruct you and identify themselves. Not always. But Joel didn't make this statement because they didn't identify themselves. He made this statement because they had. And so the livingness of spirit is not a matter of guesswork to those who are living in spirit. And if we're not receiving our instruction this way from within, we are very limited. And we are forced into false judgments about things that we cannot discern. All of us should have, as part of our goal, that clarity of consciousness, which is not in material form, not in material objects, not in material conditions, so independent of the material consciousness that we can receive instruction from on high. And if we can maintain this inner listening by always identifying truth and always identifying untruth, and knowing untruth is not there, we will find that we accelerate our capacity to be taught from on high. We deepen our consciousness. The lines of communication become more infinite, more diversified, and more immediate, so that now becomes very important. Always now, your line of communication is open because you are living in truth. And truth is always self-fulfilling. Now is the presence. Now are you the divine son. Now is the spirit of God fulfilling itself where you stand. Now is the spirit of God the invisible identity of everyone you know. Now is truth omnipresent. It never has budged away. Now is peace everywhere. That is the Christ mind in you, accepting God everywhere now, in all his fullness, in the complete fullness of God everywhere. Your Christ mind rests with confidence, trusting truth to always be present everywhere, never moved away, never changed, never altered, never yielding its position, for nothing else exists. And you find the illumined ones are teaching you, to the level of your capacity to receive, to the level of your willingness to obey, until you're ready not to hear words anymore, but to go forth and do, to live in acts of commitment, to let the Christ which speaks within prove itself in the without, using you as the instrument. There's really only one freedom in all this world, says Joel. Freedom from the belief in good and evil. That's an astounding statement. When we are free of that, he says, we are truly free of physical, mental, moral, and financial limitations. Now, if we were to take this just as he says it, that when you're free of the belief in good and evil, you're free, it would have to mean then that there is no good to believe in and there's no evil to believe in. These are human thoughts. When you don't believe in good and you don't believe in evil, what do you believe in? You believe in truth. You believe that only truth exists. There are no degrees of truth. There's not good truth and then bad truth. Truth is good the way God is good. Of course truth is good, but it's always good. It's not a variable. There's no such thing as a variable good. What good is health if it's only good health? That's a variable. It's good health when you're 20 years old, and it's bad health when you're 75 years old. That's not good. How could good health become bad health? It cannot. That's because we made the mistake of calling it good health. It became bad health because it never was good health. But if you're in truth, at the age of 20 or at the age of 75, you're the very same self. You're the life that is the Spirit of God. And if your consciousness rests in the knowledge that I am that life, you're in truth. That life is not good today and bad tomorrow. That life is always that life, and that life has no age in it. There's no 20 and 75 in that life, and that is truth, unchanging. When we accept the truth, then we must reject the untruth. I am not changing life. I am divine life. I don't have the belief in a good which can become a bad. You see, if you're working on the level of a good that can become a bad, you're still in the human mind. And you're not differentiating between truth and untruth. Any good that can become a bad is not divine. Truth is divine. There is nothing that can be true if it is not divine. The only truth must be divine truth. And there's no good that becomes a bad in divine truth, and therefore you drop the belief. I'm not interested in good health any more than I'm interested in bad health. I'm not interested in that which is undivine. And so right where the good health seems to be or the bad health seems to be, the Christ mind is where you rest. That mind which was seeing good health or bad health is where you're still. Until the Christ mind says, here is the invisible life of God, always perfect as the Father. Then you're looking past the good and the bad. You have dropped the belief in good and bad. And Joel says, this is the only freedom. The only freedom is when you overcome the belief in good and evil. You come to that which is eternal. You live in the eternal truth. And your consciousness being in the eternal truth, that is what you manifest. Anyone who knows Joel knows that at the age of 74, he wasn't what we would call a 74-year-old. Anyone who has the Spirit is never thinking in those terms or showing it in human terms. Anyone who is in the Spirit is not in the good or the bad, but is in the eternal. And the eternal is manifesting as the present harmony, the now harmony. Don't be fooled by good and bad. Anything that is not divine is a temptation to keep you in the mind that is not the Christ mind. The Antichrist mind lives in the belief in good and bad. It doesn't know it's an Antichrist mind. And so it's always trying to make the bad into the good. It's never going to the root. It's never agreeing with its adversary. It's never seeing that the same world mind which presents the bad is the mind that presents the good. It's always presenting the transient and making us label it good and bad. The Christ mind looks at the transient and says, you were not created by God, therefore you are not truth. What God creates is eternal. And you go directly to source, to reality, to the invisible spiritual self that is there. That is where you rest in consciousness. That is where you accept yourself at all times. And you find you're not stigmatized with the ups and downs of good and bad. It may not be as spectacular for you as others, but you'll find there's an even keel of sureness, an even keel of health. Not up and down, not tragedy one day and sublimity the next, but an even keel, spirit maintaining even that which appears in the visible. So it is with every other facet of life, as we have seen it in the human sphere. When you are accepting the spiritual identity behind the visible, without the judgment of this being good or bad, resting in your Christ mind, that only that which is of the Father can be your life, the life of all you know, you find your life is manifesting those qualities of the Father which you have accepted as being present now. That becomes your thought and then your visible manifestation. Good must be overcome, evil must be overcome. Only that which is divine is real. Never variable. Not changing with years. Not perishing. Not deteriorating. Not good today and something else tomorrow. But always pure, perfect, invisible spirit seen through the human mind which cannot discern the spirit that is there. We're sowing to the spirit which opens the Christ mind. There's no life, says Joel, but the life of God. If you think you've got another life, you're in the Antichrist mind. If you know anyone who has another life, you're still in the Antichrist mind. There's no life but the life of God. Whether it's a 12-year-old girl who seems to be dying, that the Christ has to say, now, awake, little girl. Or whether it's your 12-year-old, or whether it's you, your life is always the life of God, and if that truth is not firmly embedded in your consciousness, you're in the untruth. You have no other life. You see how by facing the truth, accepting it, protecting the sure knowledge of it against all invading truth, against all invading thought, you keep all of the weeds of falsity out of your consciousness. Your life is the life of God, and any word, thought, or deed in you which denies that is untrue. You are eternal being. Unless you accept yourself as eternal being, you are rejecting yourself to be the life of God. How can the life of God be good today and bad tomorrow? Is the life of God ever sick or lacking? The human concept is what is sick or lacking. The life of God is as perfect tomorrow as today. Has ever been perfect. You don't have a past which is black, or a past that you have to bury, or a past that you have to want to hide from people, and you haven't committed any great sins because your life has always been the life of God. You see, we wash ourselves clean. Of all misbelief, of all untruth. We can't linger in a past that was inglorious if we are the life of God. We see that was all part of growing up into spiritual awareness, out of the false mind of the world, into the knowledge of identity. Again, Joel states, that is why you will learn that there is no such thing as young life or old life. There's only life. And it is an immortal and an eternal life, which you cannot escape by dying. You cannot even escape from life because that's your name. It's forever. This must become consciousness. It is true that our physical body is left for burial or cremation, but actually it's not our body that is left, says Joel. It's our concept that is left, our concept of what body is, and then the reminder, which we all seem to turn away from, we are not now in the body at all. We never were, we never can be. We exist separate and apart from the body. But we use the body as an instrument. And when the day comes for us to lay down the body, it's because we're ready for another experience. We will not then be bodiless. Through our consciousness, we will have built for ourselves another body. We will never be without a body. Even if a person should learn how to travel through the air without an airplane, he will find that he is still embodied. Now, I feel the statement is Joel's statement that he has done just that. Of course, you know, Christ did travel through the air without an airplane. And so I feel we're being told here that we are learning to develop that body, which is not of weight, of density, of texture, of size and shape, but is a body which moves through what may be called the invisible without aid of any physical transportation. I feel this statement was injected with a purpose to tell you that that is the nature of the true body of the soul. After all, how are you going to travel without a physical body? There's going to come a day when you don't have one. How are you going to move? You're going to have a body that can move even though it's not a physical body. And that body is not going to require physical assistance. But we're learning now that if we're not in this body, but we are always embodied, we must be in another body right now. We must be in a body which is capable of just that right now. A body that moves without the necessity of physical aid from another source. There is such a body. It is the Christ body. It is the body that walks on water. It is the body that steps on a ship and then the ship is on the shore without a minute's delay. It is the body that transcends time and space and the force of gravity. And in the Christ mind, you experience that Christ body. It is the body that knows no death. It is the body that you move in your transition from physicality to the spiritual universe. It is the body that was not born in the mother's womb. It is the body that Jesus claimed by saying, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" It is the body that we are being led to. It's the fine print again. You have such a body, but your human mind cannot discern it. Only your Christ mind is aware of that body and can function that body. That body cannot function except in the Christ mind. All good and evil is a barrier to the knowledge of the invisible body of the soul. Anything that keeps us lingering in the finite sense of life, the changing sense of life, the perishable sense of life, the mortal, human, non-divine sense of life, prevents our preparation for the sublime transition while still appearing here in the flesh. We're not talking about going to heaven tomorrow or going to heaven after we die. We're talking about living in this Christ body here and now. The Comforter will prepare us for that. The Comforter will bring us into remembrance of all things of the Christ body, the glory we had with the Father before the world was. We are going to be opened up to be aware of the fullness of our own being. Now, if you know Joel, you know that he can talk for 40 minutes on one subject, but he'll always find a way to slide in what he's really getting toward. And then there's an accumulation of these little recurring implications until those who are ready are able to receive that inner teaching, which is behind all of the words he speaks. And so it is with the Christ in the Bible, just as with the Christ in Joel. It is always lifting you to a fuller realization of the truth of your own selfhood. It is showing that the Immaculate Conception revealed by Jesus Christ on earth is the truth of you. That there is a self which emanates from God and is God, and that God is the selfhood expressing where you now appear to be. And that as the false mind is dissolved and the Christ mind replaces it, you become aware of that great truth that you are the living Son of God. And as such, imperishable, in the life of God, I and the Father and the Father in me, suddenly your true self is discerned, and the light of the Father from that moment on continues to be the emanation, the guiding light, the food, the law, the substance, and the power that governs all you do. Joel said that his mission on earth, given to him from within, was not to bring illumination to one person or ten, but that his mission was to release the world from the carnal mind, that the Christ may be seen to be the identity of each individual who walks the earth. He felt that he had reached the point where this was assured within a short time. He said so. And if we can trust his words to be the words of the Christ, then it is true that within a short time, each individual will either realize he is the Christ and lives in the Christ body, or he will not know this, and there will be a turning over, a new age. There will be an age in which those who have come into the realization of Christ will walk in their Christ self, will make a transition out of this world into a universe which is called the first heaven. Actually, it's the fifth heaven, there being the fifth, sixth, and seventh. But our transition into this fifth heaven only comes about through the realization that I must now be still in the mind that is not, the mind that perceives untruth, and awake in the mind that is Christ mind, which perceives the invisible heavens of the Father here on earth. I think we, to some extent, are feeling a degree of that more positively, more confidently. And I think you may find in today's lesson you have traveled a long distance. You will find that as you can identify truth and untruth, a stability within you grows. Signs that follow deepen your confidence, and then the word peace becomes significant. You find you have that peace because you are confident that some way or another, something in you knows the way. And you know that something is working. My peace I give unto you becomes meaningful. A new peace. It's a peace born of confidence, of Christ experience. A peace that you begin to suspect makes you independent of the changing world of form. You are emerging in your true self. This is the peace that is meant when the Christ says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." This is the peace that we are coming into. It's the new foundation of truth that we live in. Christ mind, accepted and lived in, brings that peace. And the world ceases to have power. For my peace flows to him who is in the Christ mind. And my peace is your grace, your sufficiency. No matter what appears in the world, my grace flows through your Christ mind to be the manifestation of every need. And as that is flowing and you experience it, you know the peace that passeth all understanding. Infinite Way, says Joel, is preparing consciousness for the day when no one will have to think in terms of a carnal mind, because there will not even be the temptation of the carnal mind there. Now that carnal mind, remember, is the universal world mind. There will be no universal world mind there. That is a statement from Job. What does he mean when he says there? Does he mean in this world? No. When there is no universal world mind here, it won't be this world. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth. When the world mind isn't here, there's no world here. He's talking about our transitional experience in which we pass out of the world mind and we awaken in the spiritual universe where there is no world mind. Infinite Way is preparing consciousness for the day when no one will have to think in terms of a carnal mind, because there will not even be the temptation of the carnal mind here. In that state of mysticism, the individual will no longer have to impersonalize. You won't have to talk about there's no form there and there's no form there, because there won't be a form there. There won't be matter. There is no matter in the Christ universe. Is this 500 years away? You're not going to make transition 500 years from now. This is in our transition out of untruth into truth. Because in a God-realized consciousness, there is no evil to behold. In that state of mind, evil has no reality. It has no power, law, person, no cause. That mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, can look at your particular pilot and say, thou hast no power. That mind can look at the cripple and say, what did hinder thee? Can look at the blind man and say, open your eyes. In that state of consciousness, there are no opposing powers, because I and my Father are one. God is recognized as the self of everyone. I wouldn't want these just to be nice sounding words. They've got to be experienced. The Bible, the Christ says, I will not leave thee comfortless. That means when you have overcome all reliance on a human consciousness, someone will be there to be your consciousness, and it is I who will not leave you comfortless. I, the Christ mind, will be there when you have moved out of your reliance on human mind. When you have still the human mind which sees untruth, you are moving out of it. And you're opening to the Christ mind, which knows only truth, which can never leave you comfortless, because it is the very mind of God. Now, we're going to deepen again by continuing in this 14th chapter. By intensifying in chapter 9, Spiritual Identity Revealed, and by looking at Joel's chapter in The World Is New called Conscious Union, putting it all together, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to study the nature of the Christ mind. How will you know if you're in Christ mind? Everything that tells you you're in Christ's mind should be known to us, so that we can say, because this is what I believe, I must be in Christ's mind. And we must know the nature of the carnal mind. We just cut it right down the middle. This is Christ's mind, this is carnal mind, so that we can recognize where we are and who we are. And every time we find ourselves in carnal mind, be still. We're coming to that place where we can identify the carnal mind, where we can look out at anything and say, that is the world mind appearing as. That is carnal mind. That is not Christ's mind. And every time you identify what is carnal mind, you can put another niche in your belt. You have come closer to truth. The more we keep identifying untruth, the more we'll be alert to it. You see, what we're coming to now is we're not saying that form isn't there, that disease isn't there. We're looking at it and we're seeing that carnal mind has placed something there. And carnal mind, which has placed something there, isn't there itself. You're beginning to see the nothingness of the carnal mind and its method of operation. Though invisible, it places a form before you. Though invisible, it places a disease before you. Though invisible, it places a limitation or a lack before you. You say, that's a disease, that's a lack, that's a limitation, and that's not true. That's carnal mind placing these things before you. That's the disguise of the carnal mind. And that carnal mind is your mind. Get out of it. Take all of the diseases and see they're not different diseases. They're just one carnal mind making different presentations. Identify all that is untrue as carnal mind. And then get out of carnal mind by being still in the human mind. And you're in Christ's mind, the miracle worker, which replaces the carnal mind presentation with the Christ mind presentation, which is the image and likeness of God. We're looking past all of the so-called problems at the cause of them, which is carnal mind. The invisible carnal mind projecting these things into appearance, using your mind as the guinea pig. The proper identification gets the axe to the root of the problem, to the cause of the false appearance, and by identifying the false father of these false causes, these false effects, you have agreed with your adversary. You have come to that place where you can say, I know what that is. That's carnal mind appearing as this problem or that disease or that illness. And the answer is never to change the illness or the disease, but to get into the Christ mind. When you're in the Christ mind, you have overcome the carnal mind and its complete presentation of the falsities of the world. Now, we hope this is another stride today. If you feel a growing, deepening confidence, it is another stride. Give yourself a couple of days of working with it and you'll find that is exactly what's going to happen. We'll be silent now. I'm interested in truth, nothing else. What is truth? Truth is of God. Whatever is not true has no existence, for it is not of God. Therefore, it is not here. All I need to do is look at it and know that it isn't here. It is being presented to me by a carnal mind, which also is not here. And I can be still. There is no power in that which is not here. I'm in the one power, the power of God. that God did not place here does not have power. As we move in this direction faithfully, you will find you are anointed from within. The Spirit descends and it blesses you. So, thank you again to my many wonderful friends.